In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Jesus is giving his last communication to his disciples prior to his return to his Father's kingdom. And in verse 9 and following it says, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, how were they looking? They not only were looking up, how were they looking up? Very important. Steadfastly they were looking up. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same Jesus that was taken up, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Well, I don't know about you, but that is the Jesus that I'm waiting to come back to take his children to his kingdom. I'm not looking for any other Jesus. I'm looking for the one Jesus, the one that the Bible testifies of, the one that the disciples saw, looked up, saw steadfastly go into heaven. I am looking for that same Jesus to return, and I will be prepared for his return when I keep my eyes and my mind and my heart focused steadfastly in which direction? Steadfastly up. And if I keep my heart, my mind, my thoughts, if the second coming absorbs all that I think of, all that I do, all that is around me, if it's in the forefronts of my thoughts, if it's deep in my heart, and if I am steadfastly looking up, preparing for that great event, I believe that I will live to see. We are not to have our focus on the things of this earth, but we are to steadfastly look up and have our focus on Christ's soon return. Do you know that that was the motivating factor in the disciples carrying out the gospel commission? What's the next thing that happened after Jesus went up into heaven? Isn't it the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? Now, why did the disciples partake of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and go out and share the gospel message with the whole world? Paul says it was preached to every creature under heaven in his day. Why? Because they believed in their heart that Jesus would soon what? Would soon return. And so God's people today will only carry out the commission which he's given to them as steadfastly as he desires them to when they believe that Jesus will soon come. Not only did Jesus teach about the second coming, not only did disciples witness because they realized and believed that it would happen in their own day, but Paul also believed that he would be part of those who would live to see Jesus return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Which coming is it talking about? Second coming. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain. Who's speaking? Who is speaking? Paul. And he says, then we who are what? Alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Did Paul believe that he would be one of those who would live to see Jesus return in the clouds of heaven? He believed it. Then we who are alive and remain. Now, if Paul believed it, yet it did not happen, does that belief in his heart, is it of no effect? That belief in his heart that he would remain and live to see the Lord come was again a motivating factor in his life to do the work which God had called him to do, was it not? And so it should be among us. We should believe, as Paul believed, that we will live to see Jesus come. And it may be that we may not. But we must believe that we will, in order that God may work through us to carry this message to the world. If we do not believe that we will live to see Jesus come, we will never be motivated to prepare a people to stand for the day when he does come. Jesus taught it. The disciples witnessed because of it. Paul thought he'd be part of it. John the Revelator, he desired to live and to see it. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 7. Jesus here is speaking to John, and he says, "Behold, I am coming," what? Coming down the road? Coming long time off? Don't worry about it. I'll come when I get tired of waiting, I might come. He said, "I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." In other words, keeping the word of God as written in the book of Revelation has something to do with the understanding that Jesus will come quickly. If you do away with Revelation, you do away with the fact that Jesus will soon come. In fact, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, God said, "Blessed is he who does what? Who reads and keeps those things which are written in this book." You do away with what's written in the book of Revelation and pretend that you can't understand it. You're doing away with the fact that Jesus will come, and he'll come quickly. We as God's people are called to study the prophetic book. And when we study the prophetic book, I will tell you what will happen. All of us will rise up with one heart and one mind and one understanding and in unity of faith, because we will all come to understand that Jesus is going to come quickly. Verse 12 of the same chapter, Jesus says this, "Behold, again, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." The last words of the Bible is a response of John the Revelator to Jesus' statement that he is coming quickly. And what does John say? He says exactly what God's people today should be saying. Verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen." What does John say? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a people who, like John, desire to see Jesus come and come soon. whose prayer it is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus taught about it. The disciples witnessed because of it. Paul thought he'd be part of it. And John desired to live to see it. God is looking for the same qualities in his last day people. He's looking for a people who teach it, who preach it, who live it. He's looking for a people who witness because they know that he will soon come. He's looking for a people who wish to be a part of it and would do anything to live to see Jesus come. Do you know that the second coming should be like a fire in our bones that cannot be quenched by anything or anyone? It should be such a strong fire that if the multitude tried to put it out with buckets of water, it would still burn. And it would burn even brighter. The water that they tried to put it out with would flame it and make the flames grow stronger. That is the type of people God is looking for. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, Titus 2, 11 to 14, the Bible says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when? In this present age or in this present world." God is looking for a people who live godly when? Now. Not down the road. Not when they see prophetic events beginning to happen and by necessity they feel that they might have to be prepared for that day when he comes. He wants to see them living godly right now. It is a people, verse 13, who says they are looking for the blessed hope. What are you looking for? Sit back and begin to think, and then begin to pray. Analyze your life. And think and pray about what you're looking for. The Bible tells us that we should be looking for what? We should be looking for the blessed hope. That's what we're to be looking for. We're searching and looking in all areas of life to find something which we'll only find when we look for Jesus to come. We'll find peace, we'll find contentment, we'll find assurance because we know what we believe in. We will find all of those things which we need of necessity to live happy, godly in this present age when we focus our mind's eye on the fact that Jesus soon will come. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God desires a people who are looking for his coming. And you know that when we look for his coming, we will be prepared for it. When we look for his coming, we will ask him to place within us his spirit to bring our lives in harmony with his will that we might be prepared for that same coming. If we're not looking for the second coming of Christ to take place soon, we will not be preparing for it. We'll be living day by day as if nothing is going to change, and then one day this whole world will be turned upside down. And soon after that, Jesus will come and we won't be ready. God wishes all of us to center our minds on the fact that He soon will come and to look for that coming. Romans 13. God not only desires a people who are looking for His coming and who are fully prepared for that event to take place, but in Romans 13, He tells us that He's looking for a specific quality within His people. Verse 8, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And could it be that God's telling us as a people that we're desiring to keep the law? Which we need to do, do we not? The law is holy and just and good. Yes, we are called by His grace to keep His law. But His law is fulfilled and carried out in how we treat and relate to each other. So could it be that God is speaking to us this morning saying, yes, we intellectually understand the moral law, but we do not fully bring into practice the principles which the moral law is telling us to bring into practice. He who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet any other commandment. All are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And then, in verse 11, He says, and do this. And again I ask you, as I've asked you once before, what is He referring to? Do what? Love one another. That's what He's referring back to. Do this, knowing the time. That now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If we are preparing ourselves for that great day when Jesus will come in the clouds of heaven, we also will be learning how to love one another. Because love is the fulfillment of what? Of the law. Not only is God looking for a people who are preparing themselves for His coming, but He's looking for a people who live out the principles of the law as they relate to those around them. Loving their neighbor as themselves. If I'm preparing for that great day when Jesus will come, I also should have in my heart that desire to prepare those around me for that same day. Because I should love my neighbor as what? As myself. Matthew 24, verse 14. Bible tells us this. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then what will happen? Then the end will come. Do you desire for the end to come? Do you desire to see Jesus return in the clouds of heaven? If you do, it necessitates that you should be doing what? Spreading the gospel to everyone that you come in contact with. And again, there's various ways to spread the gospel. It's not only by word, but it's also by action. many ways to spread the gospel. But those who are preparing for Christ's coming will be a people who are sharing the truth with those around them, loving their neighbor as themselves. Not only preparing for that event personally, but preparing others for the same event. God desires a people who believe that the day is at hand. He desires a people who believe that Jesus will come in their day. He desires a people who will live as if Jesus is going to come in their day. He desires a people who will be fully preparing for that great event when Jesus and all the holy angels return to gather his people to himself. He desires a people who understand and live by the biblical principle, love is the fulfillment of the law. He desires a people who are witnessing and sharing the truth which they themselves believe, preparing them for that coming, doing the same thing for those around them. Do you know that Paul tells us that God will return to take to himself only those who eagerly wait for him? You know that's what the Bible says? It doesn't say just the people who wait. It says a people who eagerly wait for him. And there is a vast difference. We all claim to wait. All of us. The Christian world all claims to be waiting for that same event. But there's a difference between waiting for it and eagerly waiting for it. Those who are eagerly waiting for it not only believe it, not only act as if they believe it, but they go a step further and they teach others to prepare for that same event. God will only take into his kingdom those who eagerly wait for him. In Isaiah, the Bible tells us this, that God's people, when he returns, will be glad and rejoice. You must ask yourself the question, and I must ask myself the same question, when Jesus does return, will I be glad and rejoice because he's taking me to the home he's prepared for me? Or will I be upset because he's interrupted my plans in my own earthly life? You know, I used to, when I first became a Christian 12 years ago, I wasn't married. I said to myself, my, I surely hope I can get married before Jesus comes. No, and that's a quest for young people. And I'm sure that young people out there are going through the same process that I went through when I became a Christian. I was 25 years old, unmarried, and I was saying to myself, I earnestly believe Jesus will soon come. And I desire to live to see it. But I desire first to experience this, this, and this. And then I desire Christ to come. I have come to the understanding today, yes, I'm grateful God's provided me with what my heart desired. And I believe that he'll do the same for each one of you. But at the same time, I also believe that God has things prepared for us which will surpass anything that we can think of that would make us happy in this life. Far superior, beyond comprehension. And so I live my life today focusing on that one event, not asking God to give me this, this, and this before it happens, but just asking God, prepare me, prepare you. Give us the understanding that he soon will come. Because all of those things he's preparing for us are far beyond what we could experience in any way or form in this earthly existence. Paul tells us in Timothy that he would be among those who love Christ's appearing. I'm going to close by reading that text. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, I pray that all of us, as we eagerly wait for that soon appearing of Christ, that we could say the same thing as that coming gets near. We've fought the good fight. We've finished the race. We have kept what? We have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me and for you the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have what? Who have loved his appearing. Do you long for that day when Jesus will come? Is everything that you do focused on that event? Are you preparing yourself for it? And by preparing yourself for it, are you preparing others? When we do worship within our own homes, are we gathering our families together of necessity, having worship in morning and evening, because we understand that Jesus will soon come? We are to prepare, we are to learn to love one another, and because we are preparing ourselves, we also are to be preparing others. The day will soon come when Jesus will return in the clouds of heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am coming quickly. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is what? The day is at hand. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I will tell you this morning that our salvation, the consummation of our salvation, will soon take place. Jesus will soon come in the clouds of heaven, and he will only take into his kingdom those who have fully prepared themselves and others for that great event. My prayer this morning is that all of us will be there together among the living to witness that great appearing of our God and Savior in the clouds of heaven. Amen.